Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to BigHeadsMedia.com for more great podcasts.
Swing it, a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dodge! And did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
Here we go. Time to party. Right here. 3-2.
Championship.
Welcome to Benny and the Bets Podcast.
Can you believe it?
Here's your host, Terry Cushman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Benny and the Bets podcast, the 178th edition. Apple Podcast link is up above. You can find us also on Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud, literally everywhere. So wherever you can find a podcast, we are available. Terry Cushman flying solo this episode. JD Martinez opts in. That's the big news of the day. I'm kind of going to break this down right now. I'm going to present a few angles that aren't necessarily being talked about right now because that's what I like to do. I wrote on this earlier in the week. I wrote that I expected very much that JD Martinez would be opting in to his deal on the 3 years, $62.5 million remaining. The reason why I thought this is because there was literally no market out there, and it was pretty obvious basically after the season ended and before that even, but when I really started to kind of piece through everything to see what made sense and what didn't, there was no market. The entire National League was not going to be in on him. He needs to be a DH. He's one of the worst outfielders I've ever seen. His fielding ability has diminished the last couple of years since he was with Arizona and Detroit. I couldn't see a team not only signing him, but for more years and bigger money in the National League. It just wasn't going to be there. Then you got the American League. Yankees, in a similar situation as the Red Sox, were over the luxury tax this year, presently sit only $4 million under the 208 luxury tax threshold. They didn't extend a qualifying offer today to Didi Gregorius. Brett Gardner's status is up in the air. Supposedly, they want to go after Gerrit Cole, which would have huge financial implications. Quite frankly, I don't see how they do it, but they're saying they're going to be in play. So, you know, JD Martinez, there was just going to be no room, you know, anywhere on their roster with the constraints that they have, and then their aspirations of getting Cole. JD Martinez was not going to be a Yankee, and that's a common fear for the casual fan. Whenever the Red Sox might lose a player, they always fear that the Yankees might get him, but that was never going to be in play for Martinez. The Astros couldn't rule them out 100%, but they don't typically sign contracts like this. Only Jose Altuve, you know, for all the veterans on their team, is signed beyond the next 2 years. Verlander and Greinke locked up only 2 years. George Springer will be a free agent after this season. He could very well be a priority for the Astros much more so than JD Martinez would have been. Carlos Correa has 2 years remaining, so very injury prone. Not sure he'll be a priority for them, but still, I could not see JD Martinez going to the Astros. Couldn't see him going to the Indians. They very much look like sellers right now, more so than buyers. So scratch them off the list. So it's getting thinner and thinner here. The Twins picked up the option 2 days ago on Nelson Cruz. He's going to be their DH, so no room there for Martinez. The White Sox, you could make a solid case for it, but do you really want to opt out and put all of your eggs in the White Sox basket? I don't think so. So that's it. I mean, the Angels are looking at pitching. They chose to decline the option on Cole Calhoun. He had a $14 million option, so doesn't look like they're looking to load up as far as, you know, position players or, you know, DH is concerned. So couldn't consider the Angels as as a possible landing spot for Martinez. The market just isn't there, very much like it wasn't there 2 years ago. And now Martinez is 2 years older, and 3 years, $60 million with the Red Sox. That's huge money for a guy who's nearing his mid-30s. So, you know, it's, JD's probably a little upset, but, you know, those are the breaks. Scott Boras told the Boston Globe today that Martinez had informed him that he would stay with the Red Sox. He had a strong desire to play for a competitive team where he was capable of winning. Take what you want out of that comment. I think that's a very political statement from Boras, just kind of trying to save face for his client. Clearly, they wanted a bigger contract. Anyone that was eligible to opt out had 5 days to inform their current team whether they intended to opt out. Today was the deadline at 5 p.m., Martinez took it all the way up to the deadline until the news of him opting in became public. So that tells me that Scott Boras was on the phone with anyone and everyone trying to work out a possible deal that was bigger than the remaining deal he had with the Red Sox. Didn't get done. So, you know, they can say what they want, but they tried really hard to get him elsewhere. As the season was winding down, I think it was right after Dombrowski was fired, you know, Mookie Betts made comments that, you know, he likes playing in Boston, but this is a business, and he intends very much to go to free agency. JD Martinez was asked about the prospects of him leaving the team as well. I think Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe asked him this, and Martinez said he doesn't mind it. He actually likes moving around. So with that, a lot of the beat writers were under the impression that he would, in fact, opt out. And like I keep reiterating here, I think that was Martinez's goal. Look at it from being on the team. If Martinez were to stay, opt in, he's going to potentially watch Betts go out the door. He's most likely going to get traded. Brock Holt might not be coming back. Mitch Moreland almost certainly isn't coming back. Jackie Bradley probably will be traded as well. I'll get into the Mookie and JD thing a little further into the show, but he might not be coming back. Porcello, possibly not coming back. So all of these guys that Martinez has kind of hung out with and grown close to are leaving. And he now will stay despite the departures of those guys. So it's just kind of just kind of a weird proposition for him. Martinez's path to the Red Sox was also an awkward one and probably a frustrating one to him. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, who I trust immensely. I trust implicitly everything Ken Rosenthal reports. He's got the best sources. He's extremely professional, extremely respected. I trust him as much as I would trust anyone in media. And he had a report in February of 2018, about a week and a half before Martinez signed. And his report said that Martinez was fed up with the Red Sox being inflexible and not increasing their offer. And part of his frustration was that the market, like I said, never materialized. So it was essentially a one-horse race, and the Red Sox were able to dictate the course of the negotiations. The Arizona Diamondbacks apparently offered him a 1 or 2 year deal. And that was it. So he was essentially 11 or 12 days after that comment forced to take the 5 year, $110 million offer from the Red Sox, albeit with the opt outs. But he fell exactly $100 million short from the $210 million asking price that Scott Boras initially put out there at the start of that offseason. So he asked for $210. That would have been $30 million a year for 7 years, but instead only got $110. So, like I said, it's been a really awkward one for Martinez. He has played very well in Boston, was a big part of the World Series, roster. He also, despite scuffling in the first half of 2019, put up some very good numbers. And if he was a little more versatile and could play the field and was perhaps a little bit younger, he probably could have opted out and then signed 4, 5, 6 years with another team, big money, but instead, extremely one-dimensional and, only a DH, so very limited. Final question on Martinez, and we don't really know the answer to this, and if the beat writers were to ask Chaim Bloom or Red Sox ownership, they would probably get a very political answer. But I wonder if the Red Sox even wanted Martinez back. They're in a big payroll crunch, which I'm going to get to here in the next segment. But they need to trim as much off this roster as they can to stay below $208 million. And the Red Sox didn't offer him a new contract within the last 5 days. They didn't offer to restructure his deal, give him a raise, and try to keep him. So for whatever reason, they were perfectly willing to take the chance that Martinez could opt out and sign elsewhere, and they would lose a huge bat in the middle of their order. And they were fine with it. And Martinez would have been fine with opting out, like I said. So it's just a potentially weird situation at this point that neither party mutually really wants to be here or wants Martinez to be here. It's an incredibly weird situation. I don't remember seeing this at any point in recent memory in MLB. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But nonetheless, JD Martinez will be on the Red Sox roster in 2020, unless they trade him, which I feel is unlikely with 3 years remaining. If he opts in next year, could they trade him? I mean, if he had a good year in 2020, maybe. because 2 years, a lot less daunting than three. But just it just remains to be seen. So here's the payroll situation. Actually, before I get to that, Mookie Betts is almost certainly gone. Sam Kennedy had a press conference with the Boston media a day or two after the season ended. And Chaim Bloom had, you know, hadn't been hired yet and was still a few weeks away from being hired. But Kennedy met with the assembled Red Sox media, and the question came up on whether or not the Red Sox could retain both Mookie and JD. And Kennedy said to the media that it would be extremely difficult to hang on to both of them. And so that tells me at this point, Mookie Betts is almost certainly gone. Now, let's go through the numbers. And if you're watching right now on Periscope, or if you're in your car right now headed to work in the morning when you listen to this, it's a lot of numbers, so bear with me. The Red Sox payroll currently sits at $227 million. They need to get to 208, like I said. There's not many ways to do this at this point. Now, Mookie Betts is projected to get $27 million through arbitration. Now, that would drop us down, if Mookie was traded, that would drop us down to $200 million. So you might think, okay, all right, we're under 208 now. We're $8 million under 208. Well, there's a slight problem. Eduardo Rodriguez and Andrew Benintendi are going to go to arbitration for the first time. And they're probably each going to get at least $5 or $6 million, maybe more. So that right there is going to put you back above $208 million. So if you get rid of Mookie, you could probably also trade Jackie Bradley, who has 1 year remaining left on his deal, just like Mookie. And Bradley is owed $11 million. So before the arbitration kicks in for the two players I just mentioned, that would get the Red Sox down to $189 million. So a little bit of flexibility there. You know, if you can get rid of both of them, not a ton, but you'll probably at least cover Benintendi and Erod's arbitration. Now, two other longer shots, not impossible to trade these two players. David Price on the books for $32 million per year for the next 3 years. Nathan Eovaldi, $17 million a year for the next 3 years, excuse me. So those guys, 3 years at relatively big money. If you could move one of those contracts, you might have to eat some. But I also believe you might be able to move the full contract where they're relatively short term. It just depends. There's so many moving parts to trading one of those guys. But if you could get rid of one of those two pitchers, that would create all the flexibility you need. So you could potentially get down to 160 or so if you trade Price, mid-170s or low-170s if you trade Eovaldi. So the reason it's important to get below $208 million is our draft picks lower and lower each year. The Red Sox didn't make their first draft pick until 43rd overall. The Tampa Bay Rays had three picks before the Red Sox made their first one. The New York Yankees had two picks before the Red Sox made their first one. So we're getting outdrafted by two of our rivals. So if you can get below the $208 million line, then you'll have a first round pick next season and you won't have any financial penalties, and it resets the penalties. So next year and the year after that, you can go crazy again and, you know, spend a lot of money if you want to. I think with the hiring of High and Bloom, I think we're going to be a little bit more responsible. That's another reason I don't think we're going to sign Mookie Betts to a $350 million plus contract, maybe $400 million. I just don't see it. And the hilarious thing to me is there are people who are absolutely convinced that would bet their life that Mookie Betts stays with the Red Sox for 2020 and beyond, and that's just not going to happen. What will happen is he'll get traded, and then that same crowd is going to be completely in denial, and they're going to tell themselves and everyone else that, oh, the Red Sox are just going to sign Mookie Betts after 2020, and they're going to bring him back. That's the plan. They just wanted to free up payroll this year, get some prospects, and then they'll sign him again. Mookie Betts is not coming back to the Red Sox. He's played his last game in a Red Sox uniform, and he's hit his last home run in a Red Sox uniform. Not coming back. So, as the Red Sox try to make the finances work here, like I said, you trade Mookie, you go from 227 down to 200, so you're $8 million under. Trade Bradley again, that gets you to 189. Let's say you trade Evoldi. That would get you down to 172. So now you're $36 million under the luxury tax. That's a lot of flexibility. That's the dream scenario. Now, the Texas Rangers have inquired about Red Sox starters, so it's dumb for them to do it because they don't have a very good roster. They have an okay roster, but not one that's going to beat the Astros in the AL West or even the Oakland A's for that matter. I mean, it's a dumb move for Texas, but if they're willing to make a dumb move, then help them make it because it benefits us. But they were inquiring about Boston starters, and I think there was a lot of interpretation from the media and Red Sox fans that it was David Price they were inquiring on. Nathan Eovaldi, just from a performance standpoint, just hasn't been good for the bulk of his career. Hard to imagine, you know, they see a ton of value in him, especially where he's injury prone. And then Chris Sale's right at the start of his 5-year, $145 million deal. So, and he's probably not going to have Tommy John. The Red Sox said this week that they expect him to have a normal offseason, which is what we've heard the last few, and look what happens. But he's expected to avoid Tommy John. So, but highly injury prone. I can't imagine Texas would be too interested in Chris Sale. So, but if you can free up a little bit of salary there, it helps us out and it puts us in a much better spot. So for a lot of Red Sox fans that expect us to be in play for some of the big named players, you know, whether that's Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, who opted out from the Nationals, Anthony Rendon, who's been their all-star third baseman, future Hall of Famer, had so many big moments this year, you know, in that playoff run, you know, through the World Series. All those guys, the Red Sox will not be in play for. They're not going to make a splash for a big-name free agent. They're just not going to do it. I don't even know if the Red Sox are going to bring back Brock Holt on a $5 million deal. Right now, there's just, without at least three trades here, there's just no room to bring back Brock Holt. And that's depressing. He's the one guy I do value, you know, that out of all those guys leaving, you know, Betts, Moreland, possibly Bradley, possibly Porcello, I value Holt so much because you can put him anywhere. He's clutch. He's a great clubhouse guy. And, I mean, that's the type of guy, you know, any team would want in their dugout, in their clubhouse. He can just help a team so many ways. So, unfortunate to see that. Throughout the league right now, the Braves released Julio Teheran today. He's had issues with health and performance. The Red Sox were connected to him a few years ago, and the Braves apparently wanted a haul. And it's a good thing the Red Sox didn't make that move because it would have blown up. So they released Teheran. Well, they didn't pick up his option, technically, is what happened. So one way or the other, Teheran's a free agent. But two other notable moves from the Braves. They signed Nick Markakis to a one-year, $4 million deal. He's a corner outfielder for them. And then they gave Josh Donaldson the qualifying offer. Now, Donaldson had, he was limited to 52 games in 2018, but he came back and had a monster 2019. He hit like 37 home runs, had like 94 runs batted in, and a 6.1 war. So, incredible year for Donaldson. But he's 33, 34 years old, kind of in a JD Martinez type situation. And I don't think where he has a qualifying offer as of today attached to him, I don't think another team's going to sign him because they're not going to think he's worth a draft pick. And, you know, you saw that with Craig Kimbrell this year. You saw it with Dallas Keuchel. I think there was one other player in there. But those guys had to sit out until midseason after the draft. I think that's what would happen to Donaldson if he doesn't take the qualifying offer, which is worth $17 million. So it's a nice chunk of change. I think Donaldson will take that. Now, why these moves are interesting is that I've kind of identified the Braves as a prime team to trade Mookie Betts to. So the fact that they signed Markakis might be an indicator they don't really have any plans to pursue Betts because they have Ronald Acuna in center field, Austin Riley in right field. They could easily trade Markakis to make room for Mookie. I was kind of hoping maybe the Red Sox, if nobody made a play on Markakis, they would end up signing him, you know, as a corner outfielder. Dude can still hit like 30 home runs, hits for decent average, even though he's 35, 36 years old, and he's a good leader. So there's a lot to like about Markakis for as long as he can, you know, continue to produce at that level. The Angels declined the option on Cole Calhoun. No big surprise there. He struggles to, you know, hit at the Mendoza line. He does hit for good pop, but he's almost a Chris Davis-like player of the Orioles offensively, but is a very good defender. He finished in the top three amongst right field gold glovers, so you know, so Mookie ended up beating, you know, Cole Calhoun and Josh Reddick out for a gold glove. But Calhoun will be a free agent. Yankees did not offer Didi Gregorius, you know, the qualifying offer. So he will head into the free agent market. Yankees could still sign him and bring him back. But I think that's unlikely because, like I said, they're just under the luxury tax, will in all likelihood exceed it because, like Rodriguez and Benintendi with the Red Sox hitting arbitration, the Yankees will have Sanchez and Judge go to arbitration for the first time. So they're going to exceed 208. And they just signed Aroldis Chapman after he opted out to an extension. They basically added one more year to his, you know, to the 2 years he had remaining. So they turned it into a three-year deal worth $48 million, which is huge money, you know, compared to, you know, what Zach Britton and Adam Ottavino got. So that further makes it tough for the Yankees to bring back Gregorius. Because there was a report that they do plan to pursue Gerrit Cole. Now, a good spot for Gregorius might be with the Washington Nationals if Gregorius is willing to play third base. Nationals probably won't bring back Rendon. They might, you know, and their ownership group has a lot of money. But it's going to be a bidding war, and I don't know if the Nationals have the wherewithal to outbid every team and then sign that massive contract when you could bring in a guy like Gregorius, get very good production, and also Mike Moustakas is out there. I would probably prefer Didi out of the two, even though he's a little more expensive, but I would take a Gregorius guy on any team. On any team, I would take him over Rendon just for the value. I know Rendon is better, but Didi is also well above average and, you know, hits a lot of home runs. Another example, kind of sticking with the Yankees, they signed DJ LeMahieu to a 2-year, $24 million deal and passed on Manny Machado. LeMahieu had a way better year than Machado. That was a great value signing. So that's where the Red Sox are kind of fortunate here to have Chaim Bloom. He's going to be a value guy. He's probably not going to sign massive contracts for position players. I hope he does it in the rotation. I'm a huge proponent on spending money for pitching. So remains to be seen what will happen there. But anyway, that's about it for today. Free agency has officially started, so you're going to start to see a flurry of moves. I don't think any major free agent will end up getting signed between now and at least the end of the GM meetings, which might be next week, by the way. And very well, possibly not even into December. You know, the market hasn't been very quick for a lot of these top flight free agents. So I very much expect Cole, Strasburg, drawing a blank there. What's his name? Oh, Madison Bumgarner from the Giants. And even Dallas Keuchel. So a lot of these guys probably won't be signing anytime soon, but we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on Red Sox rumors. And, you know, as soon as anything develops, I'll definitely be back. I am writing for BosoxInjection.com, so check out my stuff there. A lot of my articles are getting thousands of views, so it's been quite the experience so far, writing again. I haven't really done that in the last couple years. I've been strictly podcasting, which will still be my number one priority. But, you know, in a quiet winter, I'll definitely dabble in some writing. So go to Bosox Injection to see my stuff, as well as the other writers on the site. Plenty of good content being written there every day. So take care.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Swing and a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and then he makes the catch. He did. He got it.
Here we go. Time to party. Right here. 3-2.
Won the world championship.
Welcome to Benny and the Bets podcast.
Can you believe it?
Here's your host, Terry Cushman.
football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.